You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, we are indeed solid, conservative, and just plain right. Heading into one of my favorite segments. Every single week we do this. We call it the Grand Council. I've got two of my brethren that are on the hook with me right now. I've got Dale Jackson from WVNN right here, our program director and morning show guy. We've also got Jeff Poor, who used to be with VNN. Now he's down at 106.5 in the coastal regions of our state. And so let me call the roll. Dale Jackson, are you with us?
Always.
Always with us. That's right. Jeff Poor, are you here?
I am present.
You are indeed present. I pronounce a quorum. Copper,
assemble,
hit the sound
the
effect.
Grand Council.
All right, the Grand Council. I know, Copper, I see the big oops. Yes, that was, you preempted me. You, like your trigger finger was a little sharp there. But
Jumping the gun.
Jumping it. Hey, listen, so here's the deal, guys. Y'all know the deal. The rules are we ping each other with questions. We take turns. We see how we do. We don't always agree, but we still love each other. So that being said, I'm going to go first. Story out by some guy named Jeff Poor on Yellowhammer. He wrote this piece about the fact that there was a Katie Britt fundraiser up in D.C., and that Senator Tuberville, our own Alabama senator, was there, and some hay is being made about that. Tuberville has now come back and said, no, I just go where things are. It doesn't mean I'm endorsing anybody. Is this an indication in y'all's minds that the Alabama delegation is lining up behind Katie Britt in any way? Jeff, you first.
Yeah, I think they are actually all except for Mo Brooks. The delegation right now is more fractured than I've ever seen it. Jerry Carl and Mike Rogers seem to be mad at Mo Brooks for whatever reason, NDAA or Alpha endorsement and some language used there. But let me ask you this: if this race isn't tied, is Tommy Tuberville at a Katie Britt fundraiser in Washington D.C.? And I would say the answer to that question would have to be no.
All right, Dale, what do you think, man?
Yeah, I don't think so. Look, I think this happened in Washington, D.C. Obviously, Tuberville was invited. Lindsey Graham was invited. That picture didn't leak out. Weird that the Lindsey Graham photo didn't leak out, just the Tommy Tuberville one. And this is how it came out. And by the way, we're all useful idiots here. Let's just make sure we understand this. We're all useful idiots. Someone in that room sent a text to a group of people. And was like, can you see this? Have you seen that? Oh, my God, have you seen that? And then that person went on Twitter like, oh, my God, have you seen this? Oh, my God, can you believe this? This is everywhere. And it's all just, this is all very clear what this is. This is gamesmanship. And there's nothing wrong with it, but it is what it is. The fact that Tuberville came out and was like, whoa, hold on one second. That takes a little bit, some of the punch away. And plus, who saw it besides us nerds?
I mean, come on, man. I mean, he is not at that event. If this isn't a race, man, and I don't think you could discount it. Look, it's fine. It's not as big a deal as probably it's being made out to be, but it is significant. It does show some willingness. Tommy Tuberville's not showing up to a Jessica Taylor event or a Linda Blanchard event. He's showing up to a Katie Britt event.
There's a difference, though. With the Britt thing. I mean, because you got to remember, Britt's a player. She was a player before, BCA, all that stuff. The people in that room, those are Tuberville's donors and stuff, and it's right down the street. Yeah, that's a simple go.
And I will say, too, Tuberville was a big Alpha guy, and Alpha recently came out with their endorsement of Katie Britt. So I got a tad of a mix on this. Do I think that he is inclined towards Katie Britt? I think the fact that he went says yes. I also think there was a bit of political naivety on his part for having gone, because he may not have recognized what he was doing or creating by going. So that's where I see it. I do think, though, that he is probably more inclined to Katie Britt than he is towards Mo Brooks right now. That's just the appearance that I get out of it. All right, Jeff, you're next, man. Take it.
All right, well, I'm going to acknowledge Dale Jackson, I think, is right about this. And I was wrongly optimistic. I thought that the special session early this year for prisons would keep away the federal government. The feds would give the state some time to get their orders together and everything, kind of lined up. But over the Thanksgiving week, typically a slow time in the news, DOJ amended its complaint against the Alabama Department of Corrections. They went in the other direction. They said things have not improved. They've added to it. And it makes me think that that special session, although probably a positive step in fixing Alabama's prison problem, is not going to be enough to keep them away. And I think the feds are coming, and I think the feds are going to put the prison system in some kind of receivership. I don't see any way around it right now. And I want to know what you guys think.
Oh, Dale, you take it, man.
Let's focus on the really important part of all of this. Dale Jackson was right. Okay, the folks the folks there in the legislature want nothing to do with this. They're going to allow them to take it over. I agree. I agree with myself, and I agree with Jeff agreeing with myself.
And I agree with your humility, my brother. Yeah. So. All right, I'm going to disagree slightly with you, Jeff, and with Dale. I don't think that we're looking at the immediacy of receivership. Is it down the road? Potentially. But I do believe that what will happen is that the Attorney General will be able to argue vociferously that by having had the special session, that we have forestalled the inevitable, that we are not just doing nothing, and that it would be tied up in court for a bit if they tried to move to receivership. By then, they'll be breaking ground, and I think they'll be able to mitigate. But do I think that the Biden administration is not the Trump administration? Oh, yeah. So I think Alabama's still got to keep on their toes, because there's a hunt right now for Alabama, in my opinion. All right, well, Dale,
Let me just add real quick that we're still seeing these drug overdoses, even though the prisons are locked down because of COVID. You're still having all the problem with corruption within the system. The prison system... New prison construction doesn't get us there. The crazy stuff the Democrats want to do with sentence reduction doesn't get us there. It doesn't seem like there's any willingness from anybody in charge to say, hey, we got to figure out how to clean this mess up. And instead, we're just going to build some new prisons and hope it goes away. I mean, to me, that just shows, I think we're in for a rude awakening. I think we're going to wake up one morning and this is going to be a done deal. It's going to be very expensive.
Well, and let me chime in on that then before we leave this segment, because I'll tell you right now, the claims that we are, you know, we are systemically corrupt, I think are just a red herring. I don't believe that. What I do believe, though, is they have a hard time hiring quality candidates to go and work in a facility where it's broken down and more dangerous than usual, and it's out there in the sticks somewhere where no one wants to go move to for this job. So I think they're going to have a hard time, and the construction is designed not just to house people, it's designed to put them in a better location for recruiting, it's designed to give them opportunities for training for recidivism purposes, and it's allowed the opportunity for the system to change itself to some degree, not just put a new roof over people's heads. So I think there's more to it than just that. All right, whose question was it now? Was it
my turn?
Go, take it.
All right, let's talk about Jeff Poor writing something again over there at Yellowhammer News.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, Jeff Poor wrote something, and Greg Allbritton was like, hey, we're going to talk about gambling in the next legislative session.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and I'm like, hold on one second. In an election year? I don't know. Maybe they'll talk about guns. Maybe they'll talk about some COVID stuff. But I don't think gambling is going to be high up on their list of things to do. Former Senator Phil Williams, I'll ask you first, is there any chance they take this on in an election year where doing it would poke the Tim James bear even more?
And doing it in terms of the bill being dropped in, there's going to be a bill dropped in because the Poarch Creek Indians are the ones who are one of the biggest factors in Greg Allbritton's district. Now, Greg's a good guy. I mean, he's a friend of mine, personal friend. I think the world of him. But why he is so adamant that we're going to do this ridiculous bill they had last session, they better not bring back anything like that casino expansion again, because that, to me, was failed from the moment that it rose. So I don't think there's any appetite right now among the body as a whole to see a casino expansion bill come to the floor again for any kind of a true vote. Do I think he's going to try and leverage his position right now as a chairman of the budget committee? Yes. Do I think he's going to drop a bill? Yes. Will it get out of committee? Probably, but I don't think it's going to pass.
I think the debate alone is something that people who are running for election do not want with a Republican primary head in their way.
That's why it'll probably get out of committee on a voice vote and then die.
Okay. Jeff?
Well, I agree with that mostly. I had seen Steve Livingston on the show the next day, and he thinks it'll be the exact same bill we saw this year that they will try with the casino expansion. So make of that what you will. Steve Livingston, his district stands to get one of those casinos, and that's the way they see the best path through the Senate. However, I think, it doesn't go anywhere in the House. If it does anything out of the Senate, the House is not interested in this right now. The governor's not interested in this. It's going to have to wait till 2023, I think, at the earliest. But they'll try, for sure.
They'll do one's half-hearted try so he can tell the Porch Creeks in his district he tried. But all right, so fellas, we're up against a break. Let's go ahead and take the short break there. Copper, we'll come right back and go into the next round of questions with the Grand Council, Dale Jackson from WVNN, Jeff Poore from 106.5 down on the coast, and me right here on Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. And we're also on rightsideradio.org. Just click listen live, and no matter where you is, there we is. So listen, going right back to the phones with the Grand Council, Jeff Poore, Dale Jackson, myself. I think it's my turn again. So let me just ask you this, fellas. So the lawyer in me is getting a kick out of the fact that the vaccine mandates, the different versions of the vaccine mandate, every one of them, the Biden administration has been getting it handed to them in court here of late. Things are being enjoined. Even one that recently came down and enjoined the CMS version of the medical facilities vaccine mandate, banned it nationwide or enjoined it nationwide. Mm-hmm. However, even today, just this afternoon, Jen Psaki said they are still considering requiring a vaccine passport for domestic travel within the United States. Do you think they go there, Jeff?
Absolutely they go there. They have not shown any willingness to back down despite what federal courts have said. And I think they just it's reckless, and it sets a dangerous precedent if the Biden administration does these things. But they seem to have made the calculation that they're standing their ground here in defiance against whatever the polls say, whatever the courts say, wherever the public is, and I think where the science is. So there's no limitations here to what I think they're capable of.
Dale.
I kind of agree. It's been my premise from the very beginning that the entire hook here is and will always be, we tried our best to do it, but those rascally Republicans, they just wouldn't let us do it. And boy, oh boy, we really wanted to. And I think that's kind of how this ends up working. They put it in there. Maybe someone kills it. Maybe someone doesn't. And then they go from there.
Yeah, I think they're going to try the vaccine passport deal on domestic travel. And I think they're going to wind up seeing the airline lobby get in their face and get them to rescind it before they even get it fully enacted. More remains to be seen on that one. So who was next in the few minutes we have here? I think, was it Jeff next? Go ahead, Jeff.
Next. Yeah. Mississippi abortion law, 15 weeks and beyond, would ban abortions in most cases. Supreme Court looks like it's poised to stick with Mississippi and uphold its law. My question to you guys is this: if that indeed does happen, the decision will be handed down sometime next year in the middle of a midterm election cycle. What does that look like politically? Do we see suddenly some Democrats get very engaged? Does it help or hurt anybody's cause in 2022?
Well, I don't think it's going to help anybody in terms of the races next year, because new candidates will have already passed their qualifying date and the primaries will be over, I would imagine. But I don't think it's going to galvanize. I think they see the handwriting on the wall. I think what they're going to do is recognize the fight's going to be at the state level after that, because abortion won't per se go away. It'll just be devolved back to the states to make their own decisions. So Democrat strongholds like New York and California are still going to have abortion on demand. Places like Alabama, though, the fight's going to be, can we get rid of it altogether? And I think there's a bunch of state politicians that are hating the idea that they're going to be the ones on the hot seat and they can't just use the courts as the excuse why they can't ever get anything done. So that's going to be interesting from my perspective. Dale?
You literally stole everything I was going to say. So I'll say this. A lot of people seem to think that this is going to embolden the pro-choice crowd. Like you just said, it's going to embolden everybody, because now the fight isn't national. The fight is with the guy that lives in their neighborhood to go down to the legislature and do something.
That's right. That's right. Tie it up, Jeff. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I would say this. I think if Democrats have something that they can galvanize or at least energize, let's say, their voters on better than nothing, it's this. Look at those Republicans. Look at the courts. They're taking away your right to abortion. And while that won't necessarily be true, that'll be the perspective. I mean, that'll be the perception, I mean, and they will think that that's the case, and it gets people out to the polls, and it becomes a net positive electorally for Democrats' cause.
I tend to agree. All right, Dale, unless you've got a yes or no question, I think we're out of time, man. You got a short
I got
one?
A yes or no.
Yes or no, go.
United Launch Alliance, is that thing over?
Nope, not at all. Merits of the case still stand. No. Jeff?
No, it's not over.
Okay. It's not over. It's still going. Big time. All
we'll
right,
talk
folks.
About that next. So I'm going to keep listening.
All right,
hang up, folks. And listen.
Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, one of my favorite segments every single week. Thanks to the guys. Dale Jackson from WVNN, morning show host and program director. And then down there in South Alabama, we pull in our Jeff Poor from 106.5 and run the Grand Council every single week. Three conservative pundits who ping each other with questions just to see how we do. And may not always agree, but we still love each other. All right, folks, listen, we'll be right back. I'm headed into a new topic when we get back. Even though Dale wants me to talk about United Launch Alliance, I am probably going to talk about China because I got some stuff you're going to want to hear. Oh, yeah. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We will be right back.